Like Effect continues here on WUWM. I'm Audrey Nowakowski. Earlier this week, health officials in 16 Milwaukee County municipalities, including the city, have ordered bars and restaurants to close to help slow the spread of the coronavirus. While the restaurants will be able to continue operations for carryout and food delivery if they choose, it will be a difficult transition to make, and anticipating how much food they will need to make could be another challenge. But what about the farmers who help supply our local restaurants through wholesale deliveries? How has COVID-19 impacted their outlook on the fast-approaching farming season? Many farmers have already started planting for the spring and have to move forward in hopes that there will be a market to support the sales of the produce once it's ready. Our farming contributor Dave Kozlowski of Pinehold Gardens in Oak Creek supplies some of Milwaukee's restaurants with his organic produce, and he joins me by phone to explain how he is planning to keep his operations moving forward amidst all the closures.
All of us actually have made that sort of wholesale deliveries a higher part of our income stream, and right now it's probably not a significant impact since the season hasn't really kicked off, and what we would be selling would be things that are kept in storage. It will undoubtedly have a small impact. The big effect will come down the road as field crops start to come in, and if restaurants are still closed then, it's going to have an impact. I mean, we're a small farm, but even restaurants are 30% of our income, so if those restaurants are closed, that's a 30% cut.
Right, and you still need to push ahead as a farmer regardless because plants need time to grow,
well,
right?
Yeah, that's just it. Farmers are like the biggest gamblers because we can't assume that nothing is going to happen this year. We have to assume that there's going to be a season and that there's going to be people who are going to want food, and so we have to buy the seed and grow the plants and plant the plants and hopefully sell the plants. I mean, that's still the game plan for us. So the question is, you know, not only the COVID-19 problem, but the weather as well are big variables right now in this business for all the farmers.
Right. Even, like you said, you're gamblers, but now it seems even more so. Like every year, something incredibly bigger is piled on to the things you have to try to balance.
Yeah, my wife was just saying, you were stressed out already about changing some planting practices because of the weather, and then this happens, you know. So it's an interesting year. To be honest, nobody really knows at this point in our profession exactly what the impacts will be, is my understanding. I mean, grocery stores will be there, and how much is going to be transported cross-country or certainly from other countries is a big unknown. So are they going to be leaning more on regional and local growers? That could be some bright side to the restaurants closing.
Yeah, like an unintended positive that with a chain supply disruption that perhaps people will reevaluate chain supply when it comes to produce in this case, and in the long run perhaps benefit you as a not just a backup plan, but maybe an integrated part of a different chain supply going forward.
I hope so. I mean, when I stand up on the soapbox, that's what I'm preaching, but it all depends. We'll see how it happens. And, you know, speaking of variables, I just happened to glance at the future predictions for the weather for the country, and Florida is supposed to be wet and California is supposed to be dry, so neither of those really bode well for so much of the produce coming out of those areas.
You mentioned you're already were looking into changing some planting practices. So what does that look like for you with the erratic weather? Is it more greenhouses, different kinds of, are you reconfiguring your landscape of your crops?
All of us are definitely going to more plastic, greenhouses, hoop houses, because it's a controlled environment. And there's upsides and downsides to that. Because it's a controlled environment, you can control for disease and water, even temperature to a certain extent. The downside is it's another purchase. It's another capital cost. Plastic, at best, might last only 5 years, and then you've got to replace that. So not only do you have another capital cost, but now you've got a huge waste product to have to deal with. So that's one way people are going. like us, we're exploring the option of raising our planting beds up, doing raised beds, something we used to do that we're going back to, just to get that planting surface up away from, you know, the potential 7, 8, 9, 10 inches of rain that we might get in the springtime. That in itself creates all sorts of problems for anybody doing that who was used to doing single row planting, because now you're in a bed and now you're planting multiple rows and means different equipment and
right, you can't use your same tractor for that, right?
Yeah, so it mixes the whole thing up a little bit. So we'll just have to see how that's going to work, and then hopefully the markets will be there, because that's the other big thing is the talk is farmers markets.
Yeah, so, you know, we're still kind of on that tail end of the winter farmers market season mm-hmm. with indoor places or various sites, but, you know, we're fast approaching the spring and summer ones. So with planting typically starting in April, correct?
Yep.
For early markets, mm-hmm. how do you plant now for anticipating the unknown?
Again, you just assume. You have to assume the best.
Assume as normal, like?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep, you have to assume the best. I've done a quick survey of the state, in Wisconsin at least, and I haven't seen anybody saying that they're going to close the markets. I do, however, think that that is a real possibility. I mean, when they talk about, you know, not having gatherings of 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 people, well, that certainly would involve the market.
Right. Would you give people similar to like a deli number and have their turn going booth to booth? But
it sounds silly, but maybe, you know, I suggested maybe to our market manager that we do a like personal shopper kind of thing. And we have volunteers or maybe even paid folk take orders from people. They run through the market. They pick up the produce and deliver it back to the car so that we don't have crowds of people hanging around the market. The other thing from the farmer's perspective is they have to up their sanitation game.
So what is your typical protocol right now for sanitation when it comes from taking your produce to a market?
The big change for all of us would be there will not be or there should not be open bins of produce that people can pick at. So everything will be bunched and bagged so that you pick up a bag and that's the only, you know, tactile experience with the vegetable at that point until they get it home. That will probably be the biggest change. Other changes maybe would be displays. Everything in the display would have to be able to be washed or sanitized. So everything from tablecloths to the boxes that you put your produce in, all that stuff would have to be washed and sanitized. That, I guess, probably will play into the farmers markets this year. Even if it's not necessary, because they say the coronavirus lasts only, what, hours or something on a surface, it's the optics. It's the visual. You need to do it just, again, we talked about being cautious, just to be cautious.
And on the flip side of this, if we'll see what happens with farmers markets coming up, but there has been more interest in CSA programs just as a general trend in home delivery. So do you think this could also be a potential positive if the CSA program is more robust?
Yeah,
or, you know, what are the challenges there in addition for consumer and farmer if it's more delivery system?
Yeah, I hate to talk about benefiting from this, but there is a talk. We're all talking about this maybe being a boost to something like a CSA program because you're not having to really go anywhere to get the produce and definitely home delivery is raising a lot of interest among some of us. And so, you know, would we employ DoorDash? Would we employ Lyft or Uber? Hire somebody to do it? Don't know, but that is out there, and there are people demanding it. So it's possible if there's an uptick in CSAs, and I think there might be, that it might also include something like home delivery.
Right, because if, like you said, your planting is normal, you still need to find a way to move that product.
We do. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of farms have on-farm operations, markets and things like that, so that will still exist. But, I mean, the same caveats need to be in place at that farm market, too. Just because you're not at a public market, you still have to be careful about your sanitation. You probably have to keep some sort of social distancing involved. But it's a different game right now this year, and it's kind of changing the dynamics of where we thought things were going.
In your mind, where did you think things were going, hypothetically, if we weren't in this situation?
Where I thought things were going and where a lot of the evidence seemed to indicate was a greater and greater emphasis for wholesale. So grocery stores were demanding more, and they were looking at getting more local produce. And so more of us were ramping up a wholesale operation. So rather than doing, like, farms with CSA programs, 40 different things, you might just do 6 different things, because now you need to do caseloads of lettuce and caseloads of broccoli or whatever to deliver to the grocery stores. But will the grocery stores be able to take that and move that stuff now is a big open question. So maybe that wholesale market, at least in the interim, is not maybe the way to go. And luckily, most of us have not dropped our CSA programs.
True. One thing that I was thinking about when you see the reports of people flooding grocery stores, doing all the canned goods, but yet the produce sections are left plenty full. People's ability to cook at home is still there. So, you know, do we need to remind people that, you know, the farmers, the CSAs, all those things, they're still there?
Yeah. You know, and the other thing that's important in a situation like this is it Hippocrates or somebody that said, let food be your medicine? So eating a good nutritional diet is one step toward protecting yourself from, you know, diseases like this, whether it's COVID-19 or it's the flu or the cold. So, people need to get reacquainted with their kitchens.
And if they're at home, good way to do it.
Yeah, if they're at home, right. It's time to pull out that Julia Child cookbook and, you know, try something.
Yeah. So with your kind of calendar of planning, you've purchased seeds, correct? So what's your, and that was before this outbreak happened, so what's your typical calendar or your strategy for seeds? Like, what are you buying, the expenses, varieties, you know, do they have a shelf life? Is there any kind of seed hoarding or any other practices among farmers that in reaction to this are cause for concern?
Yeah, I haven't really picked up on any sort of seed hoarding. I've heard rumors, but I've not see anything like that. Seed companies typically this time of year will run out of seed. I don't really know the reasoning why. They have crop failures, so they only have X number of amounts of seed. Pretty much everybody in the produce business up here in the upper Midwest will have purchased 95% of their seed by now. So that's an immediate upfront cost for the season, regardless of whether we can sell it or not. And that cost can be anywhere from 5 to 10% of your gross. So it's a chunk of change. And most of us will have begun planting by now. All your greenhouse crops that you're going to get in the greenhouse, most of those have been seeded in flats for transplanting. Even some field crops, we've got all our onions done. And those will be going out in the field. So it's business as usual right now in terms of planting for the season. The purchases of any minerals you might be using or any fertilizers you might be using, that's all been done. The one kind of, I hesitate to call this a bright spot, but last year was so terrible that a lot of folks carried seed over to this year. And that includes the corn and soybean farmers. I don't know what their percent on their gross is for seed, but I mean, dropping $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 on seed is, I don't think, unrealistic. But they saved a lot of that, or they have credit with the seed mills for that. So their cost actually for seed this year might be a little down.
So with proper storage, how long can a seed last and be viable?
Lordy. Depends on the seed. It really does. It depends on the seed. You can carry over tomato seeds and maybe pepper seeds and under the right conditions and maybe some lettuce seeds and things like that. But some seeds don't carry over at all. So you just have, if you're a gardener, you can trust it and plant it. And if it doesn't come up, you just plant some new seed. But they're only putting in, you know, 5 row feet of something. we can't trust a quarter acre to bad seed if it doesn't come up. We just don't have time to redo it again. Most of farmers that grow any quantity of thing will save some seed that they know they can overwinter in proper conditions, like refrigerated, airtight containers. I mentioned tomatoes and lettuce for some reason come to mind as being easily carried over. But some, like lettuce or like onions, they lose a lot of germination rates. And so you don't want to carry those over if the germination rate is 65%. I mean, you're going to lose a third of your seed in the field, and you don't want to do that. So
going forward and full steam ahead, as you mentioned, planning as usual, what are your main preparations right now in light of all the changes?
Getting the greenhouses ready. Those are going to get planted. And the hoop houses, we are planting tomatoes for the greenhouse, so those are ready to go. I have purchased more things like landscape fabric and tarps because the weeds were so terrible last year because the ground was wet and we couldn't cultivate that we're going to use a lot more. I know a lot of farmers are using a lot more landscape fabric. So they're going to plant into the fabric to keep the weeds down. And we just picked up a huge tarp that we're literally covering the field, both to keep it drier but also to keep the grass and weeds from growing in if it does get wet and we can't do anything with the soil. So it's the season started.
Yeah.
we're moving ahead. Every day that's not rainy like today, I'm doing something. I just came in to talk with you just because I was just outside getting the asparagus beds ready. So yeah, it's moving along.
Lake Effect contributor Dave Kozlowski and his wife Sandy Rodenz co-own Pinehold Gardens in Oak Creek. You can listen to our past farming segments with him at wuwm.com.